Committee on Libraries.
Hi, everyone. The Committee on Libraries met on March 20th at the Library Annex. So kind of following up from the last meeting, all the materials from the South Carolina have been removed and distributed to other libraries as well as the Library Annex. In preparation for renovations, the renovations are to implement a new fire suppression system, updating it from the 1930s one. So the library is still open with new operating hours. We met with the Library Annex manager, Nelson Riviera, as well as the interim head conservator, Lauren Henderson. We also discussed the implementation of a new award for faculty interested in open educational resources. That's SCOER, S-C-O-E-R, for South Carolina Open Educational Resources. It's going to be a partnership between student government, university libraries, and the provost's office. There's a workshop for faculty on April 23rd to provide information on finding, adapting, and creating open educational resources. So, any questions? Thank you.
Committee on Curricula and Courses, Professor Robert Castleberry.
This is hard to read. The Courses and Curriculum Committee has met once since my last report to you. And again, I remind you that if you're interested about any of the information from that committee, to please check out the USC Faculty Senate webpage on that. We're going to meet again in May. The committee acted on a little bit over 20 proposals. Many of these were, of course, of greater import to Columbia, but a few possibly are of interest to you at the 200, 300, and 400 level. There is a new exercise science course, 201, which is on foundation of physical therapy. Anthropologists interested in the Caribbean culture might want to look at Anthropology 222. Some religion courses were cross-listed with history courses, and history courses has, in fact, added a number of new 300 and 400 level courses. One of those courses is History 314, Video Games and History. I just thought you might want to know. There are a few more items, but I thought it would be much more fun for you to find those out on your own, sort of like a modified Easter egg hunt. I remind you that both before and after each committee meeting, I send a report to the contact people on the regional campuses or Palmetto campuses, and if you want to be on that list, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moving on to Committee on Faculty Welfare, Professor Janet Hudson has sent in her report for the minutes, and we have it, so we will move on to Faculty Board of Trustees Liaison Committee, which I am the head of, apparently. I have information given to me from Dr. Elkins about how the Palmetto College campuses are going to present to the Board of Trustees on April the 24th. In the Student Trustee Liaison Committee. This year's presentation format will be a panel presentation of the SGA presidents with the board members included on the Student Trustee Liaison Committee instead of a format of a five-minute presentation for each campus during a lunch session. As a result of the new format, the campuses and students will receive much more attention from the board. And that is the report from that. Okay. Dawson. Palmetto College Committee on Research and Productive Scholarship.
And so the committee has been in dialogue through email, but we just had our meeting today at lunch. But we got a lot done, and the two major initiatives that we're moving forward with is a website for research and scholarship for Palmetto College to showcase research. And so actually sometime in the very near future, you'll have your members of the committee contacting you about whether you'd like to set up a faculty page to be a part of the website or to have certain aspects of your research LinkedIn. We're thinking of that showcase as also being a format for researching where we can not only showcase things that we've done, but also talk about works in progress and maybe connect with faculty members from other campuses who are working on like things who might have insights or might be interested in collaborative projects. The website would also provide tips for grant writing, not only the process for it, but insights based on those who've been successful in writing certain grants or like grants. That's to be tied with something else that we're looking to in the future, which are workshops that we conduct through two-way video. And then if you couldn't be there for those workshops, we'd actually have the streaming video and the presentations from them available on the website. And one of the first of those, which probably we won't be able to do before the end of the year, but I want to do sometime soon, is one that's provided by the library and the librarians at Thomas Cooper, who are interested in would be able to put together something on along the lines of writing your article in 12 weeks or those sort of plans for writing, researching and writing research scholarly articles. So the website would also have a calendar for grants as a common resource for that. And then from what I've been told, there's a way in which we can set up a function that if you opt into it, you could be part of an email list, where as it approaches the deadline for a particular grant, you could get a reminder email sent out to you that the deadline's coming up. The other major thing that we're going to follow up on is the potential creation of a Palmetto College Faculty Scholarship Award. In the same way we have an award for teaching, to have one for scholarship as well. And I've gotten a lot of really good feedback on that. And it looks like something that we've got the go-ahead to put together as a proposal with guidelines for submission and criteria for evaluation for those portfolios that would be submitted. So it's really exciting, and we're moving ahead with those initiatives, among others, and hopefully I'll be able to report on the others next time. Thanks.
Now we'll hear from Chris Nesmith.
Thank you, Jolie. The Palmetto College Campuses Faculty Advisory Committee met on March 18th. You've heard Andy's report on the three motions that were approved there that are now being passed on as recommendations to System Affairs. So I won't. You're going to hear more about those under new business, I assume. So I'm not going to repeat that. What I thought I could take a couple minutes to do, if you don't mind, would be to provide a little bit of information to the Faculty Senate, because reviewing the minutes from the last meeting, I noticed there were some questions about the Palmetto College course scheduling process, and particularly about the fair and equitable distribution of courses among the campuses. So I decided I should look into that. And I did a little bit of historical analysis of the course schedules. And what I found was very interesting. At least it was to me, so maybe you'll find it interesting as well. And some of you probably haven't even been around long enough to know some of this, so that's probably good to know as well. The BLS officially launched in the fall of 2005, and there were five courses scheduled as Palmetto courses at that time. And I think there might be some people in the room that taught some of those. I know Ron Cox taught Palm 493, South Carolina Studies, that very first time. I don't know if did anybody else teach a course. These were all in 2005.
Maybe it was six.
Yeah. You were very early on. These were all, of course, two-way video courses at the time. The enrollment numbers were very interesting Ron, I don't know if you remember how many students you had in your class, but I think the average was about 10.
About half a student.
Half a student. Yeah, you know, so I mean, we're talking 40, 50 students that first semester among five classes, and now, I'll tell you what we have now, because the program grew as student enrollments grew in the BLS. We went from five courses to five or six. You know, the next semester maybe there were 10, you know, that kind of growth. It was pretty manageable. It was a good way to do it. As we got more students, we added more sections, obviously, and as more faculty became interested in teaching the courses. Sally Boyd handled the scheduling, as most of you know, at that time, and there was no revenue-sharing model, really no incentive to have faculty teach courses because this was part of their normal course load, and there was really no incentive for the campuses either. So kudos to the faculty, to the deans, because basically what everyone agreed to do was sort of let's pitch in together and get this program off the ground. It was very admirable to see how that worked well. And the main tool that I remember Sally using to get the courses scheduled at that time, I think, was effective begging. And but she did a good job at it because we went from 10, 15 courses. We're now up to close to over 40 courses and almost 1,000 students. Now, some of those are duplicated. Obviously, but it's really an incredible thing to see, and I found that very interesting. Now, a couple things that some of you may not know. In the fall of 2008, a significant step was made when Mary Yelm, who was a faculty member at USC Salkehatchee, was hired after a search to teach the three required courses in the BLS program, that being Palm 493, South Carolina Studies, Palm 494, the internship, and University 401, the senior capstone course. And the reason for that was these were three required courses. We'd found something of a bottleneck in being able to find enough faculty to be able to teach these courses to keep students moving through the curriculum as we all want them to do. So Mary was hired to do this, and of course she had as a tenured faculty member involved in research, she had a 7-course load, and she taught 6 of these course sections a year was her contract. And she could teach an English course, that's her discipline, once a year. And that's what she did, and so that was done. What also may be of interest to the Faculty Senate is that, of course, the academic home, she needed a unit to come to, and that was chosen to be Extended University. That's where the scheduling was done. It seemed to make sense. But her salary was actually split among all of the campuses. So her salary was paid by the five various faculty units, the 4 campuses in Extended University. Because she was supporting all students on all of the campuses. So BLS continued to grow. We added the BOL program. Those 2 of those courses were also required. One was an option. And it soon became clear that we needed to hire another faculty member, a new position to teach those courses, to offer multiple sections of those courses. And Dawson Jones was hired through a search process in 2011, and as the program continued to grow, another faculty member, Shelley Jones, was hired in 2013, again under the same arrangement and with the same teaching load. Now, typically, therefore, with Palmetto sections being their primary course load, there were about 10 to 12 sections at this point of these Palmetto courses scheduled in a typical semester, and those were all offered through Extended University. Since 2005, 388 courses have been offered through Palmetto programs and now Palmetto College. Among the 5 academic units, that would average about 78 courses per campus. And the breakdown per campus actually ends up being Lancaster's has taught 71, Sumter has taught 61, Salkehatchee has taught 55, and Union has taught 42. Now, when you take the Palmetto course, when you add the required Palmetto courses into the mix, it is true Extended University has offered 159 sections, but you take those courses out of the mix and it's offered 74. So it's a fairly equitable distribution over the course of the program. Now, we do have a new revenue sharing model in place now, and that does change the equation, but that was the system that was set up when the program was launched and when these faculty were hired, and it may be something that we want to address at some point in the future. As far as the equitable distribution of courses and the scheduling process, I want to reiterate that I'm open to any suggestions that anybody has for how to create the schedule and make it, fair. And what I want to make sure that happens most of all is that the needs of the students are met first, and I think everybody probably shares that concern. And then beyond that, that we accommodate any faculty preferences or desires to teach a particular course that they find interesting and that they want to develop and create. So I thought I would just want to share that information because I felt it was probably information that a lot of people don't know and wouldn't be able to know without access to that information. Does anybody have questions about that? Thank you. And again, I look forward to hearing any ideas that people have about improving the course scheduling process as we move forward. And I appreciate everybody's support. Jelly's reminded me that I'm planning to post this information either in the minutes or on the Faculty Senate website so everybody can have access to that information. So, thanks.
And the other committee's area, Conflict of Interest Committee. Okay, our secretary vanished. All right. I'm assuming there is a report in the minutes. This concludes the reports from special committee section. So we are now going to move on to unfinished business.